RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by Voi Green and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Asia-Africa committed to United Mission towards prosperity and world peace. Indonesia invites Asian-African countries to develop a new block of the world economic strength. Rwanda hopes Asian-African conference brings spirit to jointly eradicate poverty. Now the news in detail. 21 heads of states attended the Summit of Asian-African Conference Commemoration, AAC, taking place in Jakarta Convention Center, JCC, in Jakarta on Wednesday. Head of the State of Brunei Darussalam Sultan Hasanal Bolkiah said in his speech, the summit of AAC was clearly supporting and promoting world peace. He admitted that since Bandung Agreement in 1955 and post-Cold War ended, the world has changed significantly.
This gathering of the representatives of over 100 countries from Asia and Africa clearly demonstrates our continued support for strengthening South-South cooperation towards promoting world peace and prosperity. Our countries for more than half of the UN membership and a population of over 5 billion people, a global community that together is capable and that can certainly contribute to the wider objectives of the global development agenda. We have all come a long way since the Bandung Conference 1955. Since then, the world has undergone much change, and we have witnessed the rise and fall of nations, as well as historical events such as the end of the Cold War.
In addition, Sultan Hasanal Bolkiah said that the moment of AAC commemoration is to jointly strengthen the 2015 UN Development Agenda, with all preparation to face the challenges such as pandemic disease, climate change, terrorism, economic crisis, and natural disasters. According to him, Asian-African countries should be able to face the challenges endlessly. Indonesian President Joko Widodo criticized the world economy that only focuses on the strength of the World Bank, International Monetary Fund, and Asian Development Bank. In his opening speech in 2015 Asian-African Summit Conference on Wednesday, April 22, 2015, in Jakarta, President Joko Widodo conveyed his view the global economic issues, defend on the three world financial institutions, is obsolete reflection and should be abandoned. President Joko Widodo urged to develop the new economic order to compete the dominance of the economic strength.
Saya berpendirian, pengelolaan ekonomi dunia tidak bisa diserahkan hanya.
I think the management of the world economy cannot be only submitted to the three financial institutions. We should build a new world economic order that is open to the strength of economy. We urge to implement global financial reform to eliminate the domination of the state over others. Currently, the world requires a collective global leadership that is run fairly and responsibly, and Indonesia as a new economic power, as the largest Muslim country in the world, as the country with the largest democracy in the world, is ready to play a global role as a positive force for peace and welfare.
Before the participants from 92 countries, President Joko Widodo said that Indonesia is ready to cooperate with all parties to achieve these noble ideals by focusing on the struggle of Asian-African leaders 60 years ago. In his 10-minute opening speech, President Joko Widodo also invited leaders of Asian and African countries to strengthen cooperation in the field of poverty eradication, improve connectivity and improve disability, and the appreciation of human rights. Prime Minister of Rwanda, Anastasi Murasaki, invites Asian African countries to fight against poverty that remains become obstacle among Asian African countries. In his remark at the Asian African Summit Conference in Jakarta on Wednesday, Prime Minister Murasaki said that since the 1955 Asian African Conference, there has been some achieved improvement. However, Asian African countries should cooperate in handling poverty and conflict in the region.
It is my hope, therefore, that the spirit of Bandung continues to inspire us as we address the issues of persistent poverty and conflicts in parts of our regions. We should work hand in hand. The issue of poverty can be addressed by the promotion of inter- and intra-regional trade and investment.
For 92 participant countries, Prime Minister Murasaki appreciated the implementation of Asian African Conference, which he believed could develop solidarity among countries in the two continents. Prime Minister Murasaki also invites countries at the conference to hold cooperation in the field of trade and economy with Rwanda. Prime Minister Murasaki is attending the Asian African Summit Conference representing Rwandan president, who is absent. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In conjunction with the commemoration of the 60th Asian African Conference, Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry Kadin held Asian African Business Summit on April 21, 2015 at Jakarta Convention Center. The main theme of the summit is realization of Asian African partnership for progress and prosperity. The theme reflects the growing importance of South-South cooperation, especially in the field of trade and investment. To promote the relationship, Kadin Indonesia initiated the establishment of Asian African Business Council as a monitoring body and to support the declaration made in the Asian African Business Summit. Professor Didik J. Rahbini, Chairman of Economic Development of Research, LP3E, of the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, said that the establishment of Asian African Business Council is as one of the key points of the promulgation presented in the declaration that will be announced at the end of the Asian African Business Summit.
Kita harus membuat lembaga, ya, institusi, kendaraan, cara.
We have to establish a body, an institution, a vehicle, a way, a technique named Asian African Business Council. We have agreed to have the secretariat here, and co-secretary will be in South Africa. The next meeting will be held in Egypt.
Furthermore, Professor Didit said the Asian African Business Council was hoped to become an umbrella of business partnership among Asian African business people. The trade cooperation established among countries in Asian Africa will produce good progress and prosperity for all Asian African nations. Palestinian government appreciated Indonesian support for Palestinian's independence since President Sukarno era. One of the reports done by the Indonesian government was the Conference on Cooperation among East Asian Countries Post-Palestinian Development, CEPAD, which was held in Jakarta on March 1, 2014. Prime Minister of Palestine Rami Hamdallah told reporters in Jakarta on Tuesday that over the last 5 years, Indonesian government has conducted capacity building for 1,300 Palestinian officials. The number is expected to increase in the next 5 years.
Actually, we are appreciative of Indonesian stance towards Palestine since the late President Sukarno. You remember last year we had the CBAT conference here in which Indonesia was committed to capacity building of Palestinian institutions. In the last 5 years, we sent here around 1,300 employees to be trained in all disciplines. I hope in the coming 5 years we can double the number. Indonesia has been helping us with a lot of things. Trade-wise also, we talked this morning with the President about importing goods to Indonesia and getting exemption. I hope this will happen because in Palestine we have a difficult situation. We need to export to all countries, in particular to Indonesia.
Previously, Indonesian President Joko Widodo held bilateral meeting with the Palestinian Prime Minister Rami Hamdallah on the sidelines of the 60th commemoration of Asian African Conference. In the close meeting, Indonesian President Joko Widodo talked about the establishment of an Indonesian consulate in Palestine. Meanwhile, Palestine hoped Indonesia waives tax for commodity from Palestine to Indonesia. The bilateral meeting discussed also cooperation in capacity building, religious tourism, and etc. Indonesian National Police have sent an investigation team to Benjina, Aru Islands, Maluku, to probe slavery practices in the area. Head of the Police Detective Corps, Commissioner General Budi Waseso, said in Jakarta on Wednesday that a seven-member team departed to Benjina on Tuesday. He admitted that the head of the Maritime Resources and Fisheries Monitoring Post, Yosef Sairlela, who was found dead at the hotel in Menteng, Central Jakarta on Saturday night, was a key witness in the case. National Police spokesperson Inspector General Anton Charlian said the police would respond positively to the request of the Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Minister Susi Pujiastuti, who urged the police to protect all witnesses. He said the police will cooperate with the Witness and Victim Protection Agency, LPSK, to provide protection for all witnesses in the case. He added that he would like to ask 8 people from Myanmar to give testimony on the slavery practices for the police investigation into the case and in the court. The last item, Indonesian House of Representatives Deputy Speaker Fadlison has urged President Joko Widodo to immediately decide whether he will reshuffle his cabinet. Fadlison said it was President's prerogative rights to evaluate the performance of his cabinet members and that he should take action against ministers who failed to perform. Deputy Speaker Fadlison told reporters on the sideline of the House plenary meeting recently he should evaluate based on the performance whether or not they had followed this roadmap. If he doesn't, he will just be wasting time while other countries advance further. Fadlison said, citing a public opinion poll released recently, that the public were not entirely satisfied with the performance of the cabinet. According to a survey by Voltrekkind, 41.8% of respondents were dissatisfied with the performance of President Joko Widodo's cabinet and agree with cabinet reshuffle. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, coming up next, here is our today's commentary entitled Yemen is Getting Unsafe. Listener, prolonged conflict that hit Yemen is exacerbated by Saudi Arabian coalition attack against Houthi Shiite rebels. At least 18 people were killed and 300 others were injured in the Yemeni capital Sana'a in an airstrike on a missile base causing a large explosion on Monday, April 20, 2015. The explosion was strong enough to destroy some buildings. The explosion occurred in Fajr Atan area near the presidential palace complex. President Abdrabbuh Mansur Hadi, since the end of March, has already fled abroad. Airstrikes launched by Saudi Arabian coalition in the past 4 weeks are directed at Shiite Houthi rebels. Until now, conflict in Yemen has led hundreds of people died, 150,000 people were displaced, and at least 12 million people face food shortages. Shortly after the attack, an explosion hit the Indonesian embassy building in Sana'a, which caused minor injury on 2 embassy staff and an Indonesian citizen. However, the Indonesian Foreign Ministry confirms the embassy is not the target of the attack and it was only affected by the conflict between Shiite Houthi rebels with supporters of President Mansur Hadi. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi, in a press conference on the results of the ministerial-level meeting of the 60th commemoration of Asian-African Conference on Monday, condemned the bomb attack. Indonesian citizens who had previously been at the embassy were moved to the official residence of the Indonesian ambassador in the safer location. In a safer location. The Indonesian government plans to continue the repatriation of its citizens because of the conflict in Yemen that seems to be increasingly out of control. The bombing was the evidence that the settlement of the problem through violence only resulted casualties on innocent citizens. Indonesia reiterated that the best way to solve the problem is a peaceful solution through diplomacy and legislation. For Indonesia, the bombings in the city of Sana'a that affected the Indonesian embassy can be a lesson for the government to choose the embassy's location not too close to military installations. The military operation involving airstrikes by Saudi Arabia coalition started on March 26, just 2 days after Yemeni government pleaded Gulf Cooperation Council (GCC) to launch military intervention into the country. Conflict in Yemen occurred after Houthi rebel toppled down President Abed Rabu Mansur Hadi, who is trying to maintain his power by fleeing from the capital of Sana'a to Aden City. The move of Houthi rebels has made Saudi Arabia suspect that their action support the government of Iran, the Shia. However, both groups of Houthis and Iran dismissed these allegations. The attacks repeatedly and systematically launched in the city of Sana'a in the past several days have made the region become a war zone. It means Yemen, particularly Sana'a area, is not safe either for Yemenis themselves, let alone for foreign citizens in the country, including citizens of Indonesia. Currently, the wise decision is to get out or leave Yemen. And listener, that was commentary.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start from April 22, 1948, Zionists attack Haifa City. Prior to the establishment of an illegal state of Israel, Zionist forces attack a port city named Haifa, located in the northwest of Palestine. In the attack, 500 Palestinians were killed and 200 others wounded. Palestinian women and children fled to the port area to save themselves. However, soldiers pursued them and killing 100 people and injuring 200 others. The reason for the barbaric attack by the Zionists is due to the imminence of the establishment of Israel, dated on May 14, 1948, and to scare the Palestinians in order to leave their homeland. On April 22, 1961, massacre in Algeria. On April 22, 1961, the French Secret Army committed a coup in Algeria, resulting 1,200 people killed in Algerian capital. The coup was carried out by General Salan, Jouhout, Jelly, and Zeller, as opposed to the French government's decision to grant autonomy to Algeria. French President Charles de Gaulle then ordered that the coup was crushed, and in 4 days, the generals were arrested. And we conclude with the World Earth Day on April 22nd. Earth Day is an annual event celebrated on April 22nd, on which the day events worldwide are held to demonstrate support for environmental protection. It was first celebrated in 1970 and is now coordinated globally by the Earth Day Network and celebrated in more than 192 countries each year. In 1969, at UNESCO conference in San Francisco, peace activist John McConnell proposed a day to honor the Earth and the concept of peace to first be celebrated on March 21, 1970, the first day of spring in the Northern Hemisphere. This day of nature was later sanctioned in a proclamation written by McConnell and signed by Secretary General U Thant at the United Nations. A month later, a separate Earth Day was founded by United States Senator Gaylord Nelson as an environmental teach-in first held on April 22, 1970. Nelson was later awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom Award in recognition of his work. While this April 22 Earth Day was focused on the United States, an organization launched by Dennis Hayes, who was the original national coordinator in 1970, took it international in 1990 and organized events in 141 nations. Numerous communities celebrate Earth Week, an entire week of activities focused on environmental issues. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Welcome to Voice Green, today's edition entitled Indonesia Participates in a Symposium of Botanical Garden in the Netherlands. Indonesia sees the important role and existence of botanical garden that has multifunction to the environment. This was said by Indonesian Chargé d'Affaires at Interim in Den Haag, Ibnu Wahyutomo, in the opening of symposium Botanic Gardens in a Changing World, which was organized by Hortus Botanicus of Leiden, the Netherlands, at Orangery Hortus Botanical Leiden on Saturday, April 18th, escorted by Antara News. Ibnu Wahyutomo said, "The botanical garden is not only become plantation conservation area, biodiversity and tourism, but also as the development of research and education. Besides the botanical garden also as a plantation laboratorium, environmental sustainability and people as well as part of mitigation of the climate change impact. Indonesia put the revitalization and development of the botanical garden as of national priorities in the environment sector and disaster management. Indonesian government also issued some legislation such as Presidential Decree No. 93/2011 on botanical garden and has authorized the UN Convention on Biological Diversity through Law No. 5/1994. On the 425th anniversary of Hortus Botanicus, Ibnu expected the symposium could strengthen international cooperation in developing botanical garden in various countries. According to Ibnu, "We also expect through cooperation among some parties, it could keep biodiversity and the beautiful nature for a future generation." Ibnu also hoped that Indonesian people could see typical Dutch plants such as tulips, crocus or narcissus could be planted at the botanical garden in Indonesia. Currently, Hortus Botanicus Leiden has tropical plants collection including Indonesian glass garden plants. In the symposium, it has also been dedicated presentation from Paul Kebler, the director of Leiden Hortus Botanicus, and Paul Smith, secretary general of Botanic Gardens Conservation International. In addition, it also tells about the history of Hortus Botanicus, which was built in 1590 with Carolus Clusius as the first director of Hortus Botanicus. Currently, botanical garden in several countries have a few challenges, but in other sites they should be optimistic to increase their role and function. Paul Kebler especially conveyed appreciation toward the attendance of delegates from Indonesia and Chargé d'Affaires of Den Haag in the event. Symposium was taken part for 2 days on Friday, April 17th, attended by director and curator of botanical gardens from some countries, expert of biology and plants, researchers, academicians, and students. The participants came from Indonesia, the Netherlands, the United States, Italy, Turkey, England, Austria, Germany, and Belgium. Director of Bogor Botanical Garden, Didi Wijatmiko, was represented Indonesia at the event. Paul Kebler was symbolically handed a book, 425 Year of Hortus Botanicus Leiden, to Kuairi and the symposium speakers. The book was printed in 3 languages, Dutch, British, and Indonesian. That was Voy Green.
Here in News in Brief, read by Rahmana. 21 heads of state attended the Summit of Asian African Conference Commemoration, AAC, taking place in Jakarta Convention Center, JCC, in Jakarta on Wednesday. Head of the State of Brunei Darussalam, Sultan Hassanal Bolkiah, said in his speech, the Summit of AAC was clearly supporting and promoting the world peace. Indonesian President Joko Widodo criticized the world economy that only focuses on the strength of the World Bank, International Monetary Fund, and Asian Development Bank. In his opening speech in 2015 Asian African Summit Conference on Wednesday, April 22, 2015 in Jakarta, President Joko Widodo compared his view that global economic issue depends on the 3 world financial institutions. Prime Minister of Rwanda Anastasi Mureski invites Asian African countries to fight against poverty that remains an obstacle among Asian African countries. In his remarks at the Asian African Summit Conference in Jakarta on Wednesday, Prime Minister Mureski said that since the 19th 55 Asian African Conference, there has been some achieved improvement. In conjunction with the commemoration of the 60th Asian African Conference, Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry (KADIN) held an Asian African Business Summit on April 21, 2015 at Jakarta Convention Center. The main theme of the summit is the realization of Asian African partnership for progress and prosperity. Palestinian government appreciated Indonesian support for Palestine's independence since President Sukarno's era. One of the efforts done by the Indonesian government was the Conference on Cooperation Among East Asian Countries for Palestinian Development, CEPAD, which was held in Jakarta on March 1, 2014. Indonesian National Police have sent investigation team to Benjina, Aru Islands, Maluku to probe slavery practices in the area. Head of the Police Detective Corps, Commissioner General Budi Waseso, said in Jakarta on Wednesday that a seven-member team departed to Benjina on Tuesday. Indonesian House of Representatives Deputy Speaker Fadlison has urged President Joko Widodo to immediately decide whether he will reshuffle his cabinet. Fadlison said it was the president's prerogative right to evaluate the performance of his cabinet members and that he should take action against ministers who failed to perform. That's News in Brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.go.id.
Thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta, Indonesia, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. I'm Steve. In today's edition, I will introduce you to Pukul Sapu Ritual from Maluku. Stay tuned. Listener, Ambon City Administration holds annual program of tourism visit to Ambon City, themed Mangente Ambon. This event is planned to introduce tourism potential in Maluku, especially Ambon. Some tourism destinations which become tourism potential in Mangente Ambon are Pasir Panjang Beach, Ora, Danau Rana Beach, and Tulehu Hot Spring. Besides offering natural tourism, Ambon has also other tourism potentials. One of them is historical tour on Banda and Saparua Island. Cultural tour is also offered by Maluku tourism sector. There is cultural tour such as Bambu Gila, Pukul Sapulidi as traditional ceremony, and also Cuci Negeri Soya. The most interesting thing is Ambon Bay Festival, which is held annually. In today's edition, we will invite you to know more about the Pukul Sapulidi ritual. Pukul Sapulidi is traditional ritual at Mamala and Morela village, Leihitu sub-district, central Maluku. This ritual is considered extreme and usually held annually when celebrating 7th Shawwal after Muslims finish celebrating Eid al-Fitri. This tradition has been held and preserved since the 16th century in Portuguese and Dutch colonization. The participants are young men and adults. They are divided into two groups. Each group can only be distinguished by the pants colors that they are wearing, namely red and yellow or black. A day before the traditional ritual is held, the players must gather in their traditional house to hold traditional ceremony and pray to ask for help and blessing from the god and also ancestors to protect the man who will participate in the ritual. On the peak of the event, the two groups enter the arena. They hold two bundles of fresh raw sticks which are cut from the palm trees In this tradition, traditional leaders at the two villages act as referee. With a whistle, the referee guides the players who hit each other among the groups. When the flute is blown, the red and green pants group is welcome to hit the white or yellow pants group. On the contrary, when the flute is blown again, the white or yellow pants group attacks and hits the red or green pants group. The hitting area is only limited on the chest to bottom. This hitting results red streak extending the whole body of the players. Most of them are bleeding. Even sometimes, the stick is stabbed on the skin and scratch the players. Listener, people say that Pukul Sabu traditional ceremony in Morella referred to the struggle of Ahmad Leakawa, whose nickname is Kapitan or Leader Tulakabesi War. Together with his crews when facing the Dutch soldiers in Kapahala War in 1643 until 1646. In this war, Ahmad Leakawa's troops were defeated and arrested. After having been captives for 3 months at the Sewatelu Bay, Kapitan Tulakabesi crews were released by the Dutch. Before separating and returning to their region, they held a heroic farewell party by performing various traditional dances, sang regional songs, and also performed Pukul Sapu or hitting stick broom ritual. The aim of Pukul Sapu event was to make the blots from their bodies that fall and seep into the ground can remind them to reunite in this place someday. While at Mamala village, this traditional is held from generation and generation to remind the success of the local people in building a mosque in the 17th century. The woods to build the mosque were connected by using the Yualai Matetu oil, or known as Tasala oil. This oil is finally used to cure the wounds of the participants who participate in the Pukul Sapu tradition. In only 2 or 3 days, the wound will recover without any stretch marks. Well, listener, that's our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. We will meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you very much for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hello listener, wherever you are, we meet again in Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a program which introduces you to vocabulary and expression in Indonesian language and its use in conversation. Today's topic is Mendaftar Lomba Busana Kartini. Mendaftar Lomba Busana Kartini, or in English means registering for Kartini Outfit Contest. So stay tuned. Listener, as usual, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and also expression in Indonesian language which related to today's conversation. I will say every word or expression 2 times slowly and you can repeat after me. Selamat pagi. Selamat pagi, which means good morning. Bisa saya bantu? Bisa saya bantu, which means can I help you? Mendaftar, mendaftar, which means to register. Menjadi, menjadi, which means to become. Peserta, peserta, which means participant. Lomba, lomba, which means contest. Busana, busana, which means outfit. Kartu identitas. Kartu identitas, which means identity card. Kartu pelajar. Kartu pelajar, which means student's card. Isi formulir. Isi formulir, which means fill in the form. Sesuai dengan. Sesuai dengan, which means in accordance with. Data peserta. Data peserta, which means participants' data. Sekitar. Sekitar, which means around. Sepuluh. Sepuluh, which means 10. Orang. Orang, which means people. Uang pendaftaran. Uang pendaftaran, which means registration fee. 100.000 rupiah. 100.000 rupiah, which means 100,000 rupiah. Per orang. Per orang, which means per person. Now we give you an example of a conversation between registration officer or A and Hana or B. I will say every sentence 2 times slowly and you can repeat after me. A. Selamat pagi. Bisa saya bantu? Selamat pagi. Bisa saya bantu? Which means, good morning, can I help you? B. Selamat pagi. Saya ingin mendaftar menjadi peserta lomba busana Kartini. Selamat pagi. Saya ingin mendaftar menjadi peserta lomba busana Kartini. Which means, good morning, I want to register to participate in Kartini's outfit contest. A. Apakah Anda membawa kartu identitas? Apakah Anda membawa kartu identitas? Which means, do you bring your ID card? B. Saya membawa kartu pelajar. Saya membawa kartu pelajar. Which means, I take my student's card. A. Silakan isi formulir ini sesuai dengan data pada kartu pelajar Anda. Silakan isi formulir ini sesuai dengan data pada kartu pelajar Anda. Which means, please fill in the form in accordance with the data on your ID card. Berapa peserta yang Anda daftarkan? Berapa peserta yang Anda daftarkan? Which means, how many participants do you register? B. Sekitar 10 orang. Sekitar 10 orang, which means around 10 people. A. Silakan membayar uang registrasi sebesar Rp100.000 per orang. Silakan membayar uang registrasi sebesar Rp100.000 per orang, which means please pay Rp100.000 per person for the registration fee. B. Baiklah, terima kasih. Baiklah, terima kasih, which means all right, thank you. Well, listener, that was today's segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Music Corner, a segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition of Music Corner, we'll present a duo singers, namely Yin Yang. It consists of Iwa K and Selfie Navila. Let's listen to the first song entitled Tak Terpisahkan. Enjoy the song.
Lora bagai suara. Berdentang-dentang di dada, tak ada yang kan dapat membuatku beranjak. Dari ketulusan cinta dan kasihmu yang mendekat, berarti kalah terang dan gelap. Sia-sia, seperti cahaya, yang bebaskan alam ini dari gulita. Takkan pernah ku biarkan dirimu hampa, dan akan ku bangun di dalam hatiku istana bagi abadinya cintamu, yang akan ku simpan dan ku jaga selalu hingga kau dan aku.
In their first single, entitled Tak Terpisahkan, they tried to tell the story or to share about the difference, which actually creates sense of belonging, mutual empathy, and do not want to be separated. Looking for the right word to express anything is not easy, including for a name of duo or group. Yin Yang is the proper name or symbol for the duo, who one and another are needed to enhance their existence, such as dark needs light, black white, sky, earth, moon and sun, day and night. Selfie and Iwake are the singers in different genre of music, were able to unite the differences, although their marriage is finally separated. The duo was formed not just to moral hazard or business interests, but they prepared with a mature concept and not arbitrary. It takes about 3 months to brainstorm, ranging from vision and make the concept of how to get dangdut of Selfie Navila with hip-hop of Iwake. Listener, let us listen to the second song by Yin Yang entitled Terlahir Untukmu or Born for You. Happy listening.
Untuk seketika cuma membuat stres, nggak beres dikala aku depresi saat memikirkan itu. Cobalah mengerti, cobalah pahami cemburu yang kurasa di hati. Mungkin bagimu ini hanyalah flirting, atau bagimu semua hanyalah nothing. Siapa yang kau mau, mana yang kau tunggu?
Songs are so smooth, and when singing Malayan style of Selfie, met with a dynamic rapping style of Iwake. The album Tak Terpisahkan or Inseparable is a special momentum for Selfie, who must perform all out to singing, a comedian melody and lyric, also ballad, pop, and even to participate rapping. While Iwake, who throughout his career as a rapper, should singing like a dangdut singer artist. To conclude today's music corner, let's listen to a song from Yin Yang entitled Sepenuh Hati. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Yo, yo, it's happening when me and capital B is in the house. So Selfie, check it out now. One time.
Cinta sepenuh hati.
To the first now.
Mungkin ku tak tahu isi hatiku.
You never know what's going on.
Sebelum kau nyatakan aku jadi milikmu.
All right.
Sebenarnya aku tak ada hati. Sebelum kau lakukan apa yang tak aku sangka. Kau sangat terbaik hati.
To the second first now.
Cinta sepenuh hati dengan tujuan.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Cinta hilang, sakit hati datang. Curhat kepada teman, musuh di belakang. Sibuk mikirin orang, duit ikut hilang. Dunia semakin gila, pusing gak karuan. Dunia gila, oh yeah. Dunia semakin gila. Saling sikut-sikutan untuk mencari muka. Segala omong kosong jadi pembenaran. Akal sehat pun hilang. Cinta hilang, sakit hati datang. Curhat kepada teman, musuh di belakang. Sibuk mikirin orang, duit ikut hilang. Dunia semakin gila, pusing gak karuan. Dunia gila. Coba kita renungkan, bila cinta menentang hati, semua kan engkau berikan dan hilang akal sehatmu. Oh ternyata dia mantan banyak orang, dan dia tukang morotin orang. Gak disangka dia kelihatan baik, susah benar bila dunia sudah gila. Semua sibuk saling menyodok, lidah menjilat, kaki menendang bagai kodok. Saling menghujat, saling membuka borok. Bahkan ada yang siap untuk menggorok. Hati-hati, bila pakai hati, nanti malah membuatmu depresi. Frustasi dengan obsesi dan visi yang sudah basi.
Emosi, obsesi, cuma bikin frustasi. Emosi, obsesi, cuma bikin frustasi.
Bila kita
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.